The Ashes Podcast with Mikey Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, just because the Premier League has started, it doesn't mean the Ashes just stops. We've got a fifth test to look forward to on Wednesday. England taking on Australia, and England hoping to wrap it up 4-0. And one man who's hoping that happens as well is Mikey Holding. Hi, Mikey, you all right?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thankfully. I presume everything is good with you.
Yeah, excellent. Busy, but good. The reason, your reason you're hoping for that is not necessarily because of an England bias. It's because right at the start of these podcasts, Mikey, you told us the bet of the summer was Australia not to win a test. And so far, there's been a couple of days, I think, when you've been a little bit worried. But so far, everything's going to plan. That, just very quickly, because it seems a long time ago now, but that fourth day at Durham was remarkable. I mean, it's a crazy day of cricket.
It was. Australia looked as if they were home and dry at one point. You know, the 100 and odd, I think they were 109 for one or something like that. And at that point, with them chasing only 299, you thought to yourself, well, they have enough batting. It's not a great batting lineup, but Michael Clarke is there. He's in good form. They should be able to get there. But in the end, they just fell apart.
Yeah, indeed. One of the problems, it's interesting, I read an article this week on the Crick Info website, and it was talking about, you know, if there's a correlation between handing out more debuts and having an unsettled team, that they draw the comparisons from when Australia were dominant. They hardly gave any new caps, really, in relative terms. And they showed that since 2009, since the Ashes series then, Australia have handed out double the number of caps than England. But that might just because the players aren't good enough and they're trying to find better players, I suppose.
Well,
is it luck?
Simple as that. Teams will go through that. Countries will go through that with their sportsmen, and in particular cricket. I remember years ago, I think it might have been early 70s, I think the West Indies played something like 25 cricketers in one series. Yeah. You know, and I also remember 1980 or 84, West Indies coming to England. England selected a whole host of cricketers. As a matter of fact, they had a different captain for every test. So, you know, countries will go through that. It's just a matter of how quickly they can recover.
Yeah, and how quickly they can find a settled team. The fifth test then at the Oval, the weather, which is often the most important thing. But we've done all right this summer, to be fair. Looking at 25, 26 degrees for most of the 5 days. A 10% chance of rain on Sunday. But that's about it, really. And maybe a chance of cloud on Wednesday and Saturday. But it looks to be a nice 5 days for it. England are even money to win the fifth test. Australia are 5-2, and that's the same price for the draw. Generally, the kind of stereotypical view of the Oval is it's a good batting track, Mikey. Do you expect that?
Well, I'm not too sure what you're going to get at the Oval this time around. None of the pitches, except Lords perhaps, that were prepared this summer are typical of the pitches that you get on a normal summer. I think England have given out instructions to the different grounds and groundsmen that they don't want nice, hard, bouncy pitches. They need dry pitches that will eventually take quite a bit of turn, as we have seen. That is what has been developing. So I would not want to guess exactly what the Oval will be like. Normally at the Oval, you get a very good cricket pitch. You know, you get a good pitch where the ball has enough pace off the pitch for the batsmen to play their shots. Fast bowlers get good pace and bounce, and even spinners. Because spinners need a bit of pace as well. When the ball turns, they want it to turn at a reasonably good pace that the batsmen don't have that much time to adjust. But I don't know what to expect. I'll just wait and see exactly what is produced on the day that we turn up for the first ball. But I wouldn't suspect that you'll get a nice, hard, bouncy pitch as normal.
Yeah. In truth, you know, when we look back through the four test matches, we haven't had that many really solid batting performances in many innings, have we? When we look back, obviously there have been the odd occasion when Australia obviously piled on those runs, but it's generally been a kind of real topsy-turvy series, hasn't it?
It has been, because of the pitches that have been produced, Lee. I don't think that the pitches have been typical of pitches that you get throughout the different summers here in England. I think they have been given instructions not to produce typical hard, bouncy pitches. They have been, as I said, very, very dry. Some of them have been slow, that have restricted stroke play. So Yes, that's what's been produced.
Mm. Let's have a look at the usual market, shall we? Mikey's been doing great on the top bat and top bowl markets. Let's start with the top England batsman, first of all. With the risk of sounding like a stuck record, Jonathan Trott needs to score runs now. I mean, his record isn't that. I mean, 194 series runs, averaging 24.25. Probably maybe signs that he's creeping back towards his best. And when you listen to him interviewed, he's not panicking. At the Oval, three matches he's played. He's scored 289 runs, 119 high score, so he averages around 48. Bell, obviously the man of the series, 500 series runs already, averaging 71, and his record at the Oval isn't too shabby. 48 average, Mikey. Hits 625 runs there and a high score of 235. But having said that, Cook and KP both bat very well at the Oval. KP in particular, averaging 60.38. He's got a high score of 175. Is it picking one from four again?
Yeah, to be honest, I would leave Cook and Trott out of it.
Yeah,
I don't think they are in very good form. I think Australia have worked out how to bowl to them.
Right.
They haven't been able to combat that yet. You know, in time, they will work it out. Cook and Trott, that is.
Mm.
Australia have worked out a way to bowl to them, to restrict them. It's up to them now to bounce back from that. So far, it doesn't seem as if they have a plan for Ian Bell. They just bowl to Ian Bell and then hope that for the best. They just bowl a nice tidy line and hope that he gets out. Peterson, similar situation. I think both Bell and Peterson are showing that they are good enough to just bat against anything that Australia throws at them. So I think it's one from two. You know, I've always been a Peterson man, but Bell is in such good form. I expect that he'll get a lot of runs again. But I think it's just those two that you need to be concentrating on, Bell and Peterson.
Yeah. It's funny, really. I mean, you'd think when you're betting on something, when you've got someone who's performing so solidly as Ian Bell, and, you know, just the runs just keep coming, don't they? The centuries keep coming. He's 4-1. I mean, he's the same price as Jonathan Trott. He's a bigger price than Kevin Peterson, and he's the same price as Alistair Cook. There's nothing about Cook and Trott's form that would make you think that Bell should be the same price, is there?
That is right. Bell should be favourite, and Peterson second favourite from the way they have been batting throughout this series. I will give long odds Cook and Trott, you know, but, you know, I think the bookmakers have decided that these guys are going to come good at some point. I think they believe that there's no way they're going to go through the entire series and not come good. That's why they are keeping them short.
Let's have a look at the bowling. Again, looking at the records at the Oval, all in favour of Swan, really, I suppose, when you compare his series averages as well. I mean, he's taken more wickets than anyone in the series across both sides. 23 wickets for 621. He's bowled miles more overs than anyone in the England side as well. At the Oval, his best is 6 for 106. He's taken 24 wickets in four matches. Anderson, not a great average at the Oval, actually. 37.84, 26 wickets in eight matches. And Broad, 17 wickets in five Oval matches, an average of just over 30. Broad has been getting better as this series progresses, Mikey. He's 5-2 to be top bowler. 9-4 for Anderson to be top England bowler. And Graham Swan's the outsider of those three that I've mentioned. Obviously, there's a couple of injuries. So, you mean, Chris Tremlett could come in. He's priced up at 3-1 to be top bowler in the first innings at the Oval.
Yeah, Finn is in the squad as well. Whether he'll play or not is another matter. I have no idea whether they'll select him. Anderson wouldn't have a good record at the Oval, Lee, because the Oval is not really where you expect to see a lot of swing. You don't see swing bowlers doing too well at the Oval. It's usually the bowlers who hit the deck, who either get movement off the seam or just have enough pace. You know, I would think it's between Swan and Broad. I don't know if Finn is going to play. If people want to hang around a while and just wait to see what the final 11 is like before they put a bet on the bowlers, that might be the wisest thing to do. Wait on to see who will be selected. They've included another spinner in the squad. I don't think he'll play either.
No.
I think they'll play one spinner. So you might want to just hang around a bit to see the final 11 before you decide that you want to have a bet on the top bowler.
Yeah, but from what you say there, obviously, you know, you give us the reasons why Anderson won't have taken that many wickets, yet he's the favourite in the market. You know, nothing about his form, really, part of the series, or his form at the Oval, or the type of pitch it is, fits to that, does it? It's almost like you just stick it. Just stick Anderson at the top of the market.
Yeah, well, he's the best bowler, fast bowler that
is
in the England lineup. So they'll just say, okay, put him at the top of the market because he's the best. He hasn't been getting any wickets since the first test match. and because the ball just hasn't been swinging. Not too sure why that is the case, but it hasn't been swinging, whether it's normal swing or later on with reverse swing. So he hasn't been very effective. So I wouldn't really be looking for him to be the top bowler.
Yeah, so but play a waiting game and see who gets that,
yes,
that extra
the final
slot.
11 and before you decide on who you want to stick your bet on.
Yeah, but Swan at 11-4, the outsider of those that little group of three. There's no prices for Finners yet. They've priced up Tremlett, priced up Kerrigan, but no prices for Finners yet. So you will have to wait, as Mikey says. As for Australia, obviously looking to salvage some pride to take back down under for the back-to-back Ashes. Series. Let's have a look at top Australia batsmen. Mike has pretty much said the same thing all summer, and he's largely been right as well. You can't look further than the captain, Michael Clarke. He's 11-4. Chris Rogers is 4-1. David Warner 4-1. Ed Cowan is priced up at 11-2. Shane Watson the same price, and Khawaja the same price as well. Michael Clarke is still tops the list of Australian batsmen, but only just. He's scored two more runs than Rogers, but slightly better average. Watson is the next nearest on 216, so there's almost 150 runs between Clarke and Rogers and Watson, which pretty much says it all, Mikey, doesn't it? Clarke hasn't got a good record at the Oval. He hasn't played that much here, but hasn't really scored runs. Rogers never played there, so it's very difficult to look how they perform at this ground.
No, not really, but it's a small field when you're thinking about Australia and their batting.
Yeah.
You know, you think of two or three people. Rogers has been batting well, so you have to think about him. Clarke is obvious because he's a class batsman in the team. And then Warner, who didn't bat too badly, up at Durham. To go outside of that three, I think you're taking a huge gamble. You're not really being reasonable if you go outside of that three. You're going to be thinking of, okay, I just want to back an outsider. Because Watson, although everyone thinks that Watson is a good player, Watson is still not really producing. He gets his 30s, his 40s, the occasional 50, and that's it. You can't be putting your money on somebody that you don't think is going to get a century to be the top run scorer. You have got to think of somebody that has the capabilities of getting centuries. Watson has played, 44 test matches, has 2 centuries. That's not really someone that you should be putting your funds on. So Clarke, obviously, because he's a class player, and then it's a matter of whether you think Warner will now come good and get a big score, or Rogers will just do his normal stuff. Not very entertaining, but gets his run. So it's, in my eyes, it's between Rogers and Clarke.
Yeah, there's those prices again, 11-4 and 4-1, Roger. I mean, with those sort of prices, you can, you know, it's...
You can back them both and make a profit.
You can, can't you? Top Australian bowler. Again, this is a pretty small field because when you look at the series wickets so far, Harris has stormed into the lead for Australia, taking 20 wickets. I've got 7 for 117, of course, which was fantastic bowling, and just gave Australia something like a little bit of a throwback, Mikey, wasn't it? The way he kind of pounded in there, reminded me of a 70s Aussie, not an Aussie in the 2010s. Siddle's taken 17 wickets, then you drop right down to Lyon and Stark, who've only taken 8 each. There's a big difference there, isn't there, between the quality of wicket taking. The odds 9-4 Harris, 5-2 Siddle, then you go 3-1 Stark, 7-2 Jackson Bird, and 4-1 Faulkner and Lyon. Hard to look anywhere other than Ryan Harris if he continues that kind of form.
Harris and Siddle are the only two people you can look at. You know, Nathan Lyon, I think, was unfortunate not to play a few more test matches. But again, you wouldn't think of him as someone taking 5 wickets on a regular basis. Harris certainly has shown that he can. One would hope that he'll remain fit through this last test match. You know, he has had 3 hard test matches. Previously, he hadn't been able to get through an entire series. Hopefully this time he will. So you have to think of Harris and then a little bit of Siddle to as a saver. But Harris is a class bowler in this Australian lineup.
Again, the sort of prices that are on offer, you can do that. What about the match then, Mikey? As I said before at the start, England even money. Biggest price they've been, to be fair, at the start of a test match all summer. 5-2 the draw. Aussies 5-2. There's no real reason to doubt England, is there? Unless a touch of complacency comes in, which you can't really see, because even Cook's talking about wanting to be ruthless, which doesn't seem to fit his character necessarily.
Yeah, well, I think they want to win this test match. Whether they want to be ruthless or not is another matter, because they haven't played ruthless cricket.
No, that's true.
They have won, but they have not been ruthless in their winning. But I don't expect that they'll take their foot off the accelerator here. I think they'll be looking to win this test match. And the weather looks fine. You should get five clear days. And if you get five clear days, you're going to get a result, I would assume. So you have to be on England. I still can't see Australia winning, especially now that they are 3-0 down. They'll be very, very deflated. You know, they got so close up at Durham. It looked at one point as if they were on their way, and they still managed to lose. So I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to lift themselves now. They will tell themselves, yes, you know, I've got to lift themselves because they have five more test matches after this coming up very shortly in Australia. But on this tour, I think they'll be quite deflated. It would have to be England again.
Mikey, that'll do us for the series. Thanks very much for your time throughout the Ashes.
My pleasure.
Some winners as well. Not only is it a pleasure speaking to you, but you've been dishing out the winners to the listeners too. So we'll be watching during the fifth test, and then we'll speak to you again before the winter.
Okay, no problem, Lee. Take care.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.